الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأوليته ابتداء ولا لأزليته انقضاء، وانحصرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته ورضعت عظمته العقول، والذي لا تواري عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحاء سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبي القاسم محمد المصطفى. وعلى الجوهرة القدسية البتول العذراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء، وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا. لا سيما على بقية الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بيمنه رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء، ولولاه لصاخت الأرض بأهلها، واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في كتابه الكريم: الذين جاهدوا فينا لنهدينهم سبلنا. صلوات. The concept of hidayah, or in Farsi we say hidayat, is my subject of speech tonight, because this session is dedicated for the Hujjaj Al-Kiram and the Zawwar Al-Kiram, those brothers and sisters who have returned back recently from our community after performing the Fariza of Hajj and the Ziyarat of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. And we congratulate all those brothers and sisters, and we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts their manasik, their ibadat, their sa'i, and all those zahamat and hardships that they had tolerated in the way of going for Hajj and the ziyarat of Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. The concept of hidayat in Islam, first of all, the word hidayah means ma'rifatu tariq. That means recognizing the path. Hidayat in Islam has two different meanings. If you turn to the books of Aqaid, it means that either ira'atu tariq, that means you tell somebody the directions. If somebody is asking you where he's supposed to go, he's stuck. You tell him the directions to go. So you tell the direction and the way that he's supposed to follow. This is called ira'atu tariq, the first meaning. And the second meaning of hidayah in Arabic is al-isal ila al-matlub. That means taking someone to the destination. As a matter of fact, in our belief system, the first meaning is what is the duty of the prophets and the messengers. The prophets and messengers, alayhim as-salam, they came for ira'atu tariq, for showing us the path. They did not come us to grab our hand and necessarily take us to the destination. Going to the destination is our job, reaching the destination is our own farida. Their job is to tell us. Itmam al-Hujjah, to tell us, to guide us. So as long as the prophets and the imams have guided us towards the right direction and the right path to follow, they did their job. Now some of the messengers, some of the mursaleen were imam as well. So the mansab and position of imamat in Islam, and this is one of the reasons why we believe that mansab and position of imama is afdal and superior than the mansab and position of nubuwa and risala in Islam. Because the job of an imam, whether he is a rasul plus the imam or he is only an imam, the job of the imam is the second meaning of hidayat, which is al-isal ila al-matlub, taking the person to the destination. So what is the difference between the two meanings? The difference between the two meanings is that in the first type of hidayat, there is no guarantee for the person to get guided. Because you tell him, he may end up following the right path, he may not end up following the right path. There are obstacles. There is hawa nafs, khahishat nafsani. There is shayateen al-insi wal-jinn, isn't it right, who are misguiding the person. And there is so much inhiraf and dalal and misguidance, gumrahi around, that it's a very less chance for a person to keep away from all those distractions and reach the destination on his own. It's his job to reach, but most of the people don't reach like this. This path and way is the right way, but it is this policy is not working for everyone. Now the second meaning of hidayah, which means taking the person to the destination, is the job of the imam. Anyone who is on the mansab of imama in Islam, whether he is a rasul plus imam, like the ulul azm messengers, all of them were imams. Prophet Isa, Prophet Nuh alayhi salam, and Prophet Ibrahim, and Prophet Musa, and Prophet Isa, and our holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam wa alayhi wa sallam. These five great messengers who are Ulul Azm, all of them were imam as well. Although there is a difference in our scholars of Kalam, Ilmul Kalam, they say Ulul Azm were not five messengers. Ulul Azm were 18 messengers, which are mentioned in, I think, in Suratul Anbiya, the list of the names which is there. So those 18 messengers mentioned there, some of the mutakallimeen say all of them were ulul azm, but some others say it's just five. So but bottom line is that these five messengers are nabi plus rasul plus imam. So being having the position of and mansab of imamat, it's their responsibility to take a person to the maqsad and destination. Now obviously, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's job is to guide us. Al-Hadi al-Itlaq is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the guide. He is the supreme guide for everyone. Even the prophets are guided by Allah. Even the anbiya are guided by Allah. Even the a'imma alayhim as-salam are guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So actually the Hadi and guide is Allah. Allah guides the people according to what they deserve, and as much as they deserve. So in the same way is the job of the a'imma, whether they are the messengers who are the imams or those who are not the messengers but only the imams, they also operate in the same way. They guide anyone and everyone who deserves to be guided. So this is the policy that is being adopted and is being exercised. So hidayah is ma'rifatul tariq al-mustaqim, ma'rifatul sirat al-mustaqim, recognizing the straight path. This is how, in short words, you can define the concept of hidayah. We say somebody is muhtadi, he's guided, and somebody is munharif, he is not guided, he is deviated from the track. How do we distinguish? We distinguish whether he is in the straight path, Sirat al-Mustaqim, or he is not on the straight path. This is the way how we determine. So, about this ayat of Holy Quran, Man ahyaha fakannama ahya an-nasa jami'a, isn't right? Whoever kills one mu'min, whoever kills one life, and is in the eyes of Quran equal to killing the entire humanity. And whoever kills, whoever gives life to one life, one person, is like giving life to the entire humanity. This is what Quran teaches us. So such a great level of respect for the human life. So we find the hadith, since we are discussing the concept of hidayat and guidance tonight, so we have hadith from Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salatu wassalam. Which is narrated in Al-Kafi volume 2, where Imam alayhi salam says, Man akhrajaha min dalalin ila huda fakainnama ahyaha. Whoever takes him, that means the life of the person, whoever takes a one person out from misguidance towards guidance is just like the person who gave him the life. وَمَنْ أَخْرَجَهَا مِنْ هُدَى إِلَى ضَلَالٍ, and whoever took him out from guidance towards misguidance, فَقَدْ قَتَلَهَا, he has definitely killed him. So the concept of killing is not restricted in Islamic perspective to physically take the life of a person. That's not the only way to kill. The actual and more dangerous way of killing somebody is to take him from the path of guidance, which is a straight path of Islam, towards dalal and gumrahi and misguidance. That's the massacre of his life. And taking him to guidance is giving him life. That's the real life. You know, nothing can be better, because that's how you guarantee the eternal success. And obviously, as you have heard from scholars, the famous hadith of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, what he said to Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam on the day of Khaybar, when he gave the alam, the ra'ya, the parcham, the flag of Islam on the day of Khaybar. This was the Prophet said to him, that an yahdi Allahu bika rajulan wahidan, narrated in a little bit variations in so many narrations. In this narration that I have here with me, it says, la an yahdi Allahu ala yadayka rajulan khayran mimma tala'at alayhi shams wa gharubat. So if Allah guides a person, that means if Allah guides one person through you, is better for you from everything upon which the sun rises and sets. That means the whole world. So not $1 million or $1 billion, everything available in the world, everything is less than the value of guiding one human. So this is, remember, this statement Prophet is making at the time when Imam Ali is going to war. So which gives us the clear message that in Islam, obviously they started the war, Prophet did not initiate. Second of all, even when Prophet is defending Islam and Muslims at that time, he is thinking and focusing about guiding the people so that they get the real life and the real success. So the purpose in Islam is not to shed the blood, as compared to the non-Muslims who are killing scores and scores of Muslim life, isn't right, almost on daily basis, whether in the name of collateral damage or whatever label they may assign, isn't it right? And then they try to justify what they are doing. Isn't that shameful, to take the life of innocent civilians? But in Islam, even those who are waging the war against us are not, they are not innocents and they are not civilians. Still, our Holy Prophet is teaching us that we need to focus over guidance. So obviously there is no comparison with the morality in the politics. Without Islam, you don't find morality. Well, in the Islamic politics, you find morality rules over the politics. So the Islamic siyasat says, is it right to do or not? Whereas the politics of the non-Muslims says, you know, those who are void of the morality, they just believe whether it works for them or not, whether it works for their interests or not. If it works for their interests, that's enough. They don't care how many people, innocents, get killed. Our scholars say there are three asbab, reasons, how the guidance is guaranteed. How do we guarantee that we stay on the Siratul Mustaqim, the straight path of Islam? What is the guarantee? Three. First, ijtinabul muharramat. Guarantee number one for a person to stay on the straight path in the eyes of ilmul akhlaq is that we abstain from the harams. Well, this is in our reach. Isn't it right? The ball is in our court. We can abstain, we can keep away from the harams, and Allah will continue providing guidance to further and further and further higher levels and make us walk over the path of the straight path of Islam faster and quicker, because we are obliged in Islam to walk in the straight path with surah, with speed. Quran says, you know, sari'u ila maghfiratin min rabbikum. Isn't it right? You know, this is what my teacher Ayatullah Jawadi Hafizahullah in his tafsir was saying, that while we are walking on the Sirat al-Mustaqim, we have three responsibilities during the walk. A, we become fast. We take out the laziness. We start walking fast on, get the blessings of Allah quicker. B, we take a lead over others. Sabqat. Because Quran says, فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. Isn't right? So we need to take a lead over all the khairat and good deeds, good things. We should do ahead of the rest. That's the second responsibility of the person who is walking on the straight path. Sabqat. Over the rest of the people who are walking like you, you need to take a lead over them. Whenever you find something khair is being done, take a lead over the rest. This is how you will take a lead. And the third responsibility of those who are walking in the straight path is imama. So Quran says, وَجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ imama. And my teacher was saying, this dua in the Holy Quran is dua al-sabiqeen. It's not the dua of lahiqeen. This is the dua of those who have already taken a lead over the rest of the people. When you take a lead in khairat over the rest of the people, then you deserve to say to Allah, وَجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا. Make us an imam of the muttaqeen. Because you have proven with your amal and actions that you take a lead over the rest in doing the good deeds. If I am lazy and letting behind the rest of the people, I don't deserve to be the imam of the people, isn't that right? So وَجْعَلْنَا لِلْمُتَّقِينَ إِمَامًا is the dua of sabiqeen in Quran. So surat, doing it fast when you are walking on the straight path, don't miss out on the blessings, life is too short. Sabqat, taking a lead on the rest and doing the good deeds. And imamat is becoming a leader over the rest. These are three responsibilities of everyone who is serious to walk over the straight path in Islam. So Allah guides. What we were saying is that Allah guides towards further higher levels of hidayah and guidance if we do the surat, we are fast in doing the good deeds, fast towards receiving the blessings of Allah, and remove the laziness from our character. So second sabab and cause for achieving hidayat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our scholars of akhlaq say, is the second cause is ilm and knowledge. Whoever increases in his knowledge, knowledge is like nur and guidance and light. So knowledge guides you towards the path. Obviously, when you learn, then you are more likely to walk after knowledge because you have learned it. If you don't learn, you won't realize its importance. So knowledge empowers the person. A jahil person is not going to walk on the straight path. Amir Rami alayhi salam says in Nahj al-Balagha, لَا تَرَى الْجَاهِلَ إِلَّا مُفْرَطًا أَوْ مُفَرَّطًا. You will not see a jahil except either doing ifrat or doing tafreet. That means on both of the extremes. You won't find a jahil on the straight path of i'tidal and middle path of Islam. It's not going to, we won't find it. That's not going to happen with jahil. So ilm and knowledge empowers us to walk the straight path. The third and the last sabab and reason that causes a person to get the hidayat and guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the hubb and love of Rasul and Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. This is actually the most important factor of loving the Mahbubin, the beloved personalities, Awliyaullah, loving them. Isn't it right? Because love as a concept in Islam, it's a very huge and detailed concept. If we talk about the concept and Nazariyatul Hubb, concept of love in Islam, is a very beautiful and detailed concept. But Hubb in Islam, Muhabbat, is from Tarafain. Muhabbat is always tarafaini, something which is dual-sided. If there's a one-sided inclination, it's not called hubb. Hubb has to be two-sided, always, to be called love. So, the more you love the Ahlul Bayt, you can understand that as a minimum, they love you the same amount. So, you want to know how much you are mahbub in the eyes of Allah and Imam Sahib Zaman alayhi salam. So just see how much you give importance to Allah and His Imam and His Khalifa. And the same, minimum the same is the level. Obviously they love us more than what we do. So that's the minimum level that they would love us. So there is a story of Sayyid Shafti, rahmatullah alayhi, great personality, Sahib al-Ma'rifah. Some of the mukhalifin thieves entered into his house in the night, and he was busy in ibadat. He was the kind of person narrated that used to cry over Imam Al Hussein alayhi salam a lot. There are some people who have a great attachment, isn't it right? Whenever you mention about Imam Al Hussein alayhi salam, they start crying. Their eyes become wet. They have a different type of attachment, which is actually the sign of a mu'min. That whenever you hear about Sayyidul Shuhada alayhi salam, you cry, you have tears. So ana qatilul abra la yaskuruni mu'minun illa sta'bara. So it's a sign. So basically, he was reading some dua in the night in his house and crying, and these thieves enter into his house. They have guns. One person starts wanted to fire at him, but when he saw him, he had this haybat and majesty that this thief started to shiver, and he dropped the gun. The second person picked up the gun and tried to, fire at him. The same happened to him. So the story moves on, and at the end we find these two people who were not the followers of Ahlul Bayt, they ending up getting the hidayat and guidance from the Sayyid and converting into the followers of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Please say salawat. So when we go for the Hajj, which is a fariza in Islam, and to that extent that the hadith tells us, if the people abandon the Hajj, al imam an yujbirahum, it's the job of the Imam al-Muslimin to force the people to go for Hajj. Innama hadhal bayt fa inna hadhal bayt innama wada'a lil Hajj, because this house is made for Hajj. That means it cannot be abandoned, and Allah does not tolerate his house to be abandoned at any cost. Some have to go. If everybody leaves the Hajj, the Imam al-Muslimin is bound from Allah to force some people to go. That shows the importance of the Hajj in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And obviously this is the place where we find the guidance and hidayat that we are discussing. It started from the Holy Kaaba. And when we go for Hajj and we go for the ziyarat of Rasul and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, we ask Allah to send his salawat and on those prophets and the imams and the saliheen and also the angels who are assigned there. Allahumma faj'al salawatika wa salawat malaikatika al-muqarrabin wa ibadika al-salihin wa anbiya'ika al-mursaleen. Then right, we ask, and not just we are asking their salawat, but we are sending our from our behalf the salawat of Allah on all of them and on the angels who are assigned in that place. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the dua of the ziyarat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, we say Allahumma a'tihi al-darajata wal-wasila min al-jannah wab'athu maqaman mahmudan yaghbatuhu al-awwalun wal-akhirun. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give the Prophet the level, the status and the means, the wasila in paradise, and grant him the maqaman mahmuda, which is a special status, which is a praised level. Not everyone gets that level. Prophet is receiving the level which is called the praised level, maqaman mahmud, which everyone else from the earlier and the later generations will have yaghbituhu, they will envy, not in the negative sense, rushk, to get that level. So Hajj is that much important, and likewise the ziyarat of Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, despite the fact that the imams are all dispersed in various spots in the Islamic Ummah, right? You have to go to Samarra, which is way far away, or Qadamiyya, or our imams who are buried there, Imam al-Kadhim alayhi salam and Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam, or you go to Maqbaratul Baqi for those a'imma alayhi salam, or the Haram of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Haram of Amir al-Mu'mineen and Sayyid al-Shuhada, and so on and so forth, Haram of Imam al-Rida alayhi salam, which is really far. He was the lonely among Ahlul Bayt, Ghareeb al-Ghuraba, the lonely among all the lonely ones. So, and he is the one who has the highest number of Zuwar, isn't it right? If you have heard, the largest number of Zaireen in the Shia world are the ones who visit, I'm talking about, not about Arba'een, I'm talking about the rest of the year. In the rest of the year, the largest number of Zaireen are visiting our Imam Rida alayhi salam. On the Arba'een, obviously, we have, alhamdulillah, the largest crowd in the history of humanity, 23 million recorded last year, who visit Abi Abdullah alayhi salatu was salam. Here is the hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen in Wasa'il al-Shia, where he says that he says that inna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi baka buka'an shadeedan faqala lahu al-Husayn alayhi salam lima bakayt. Amir al-Mu'mineen alayhi salam is narrating this hadith that Prophet cried a lot, and Husayn alayhi salam asked him, why are you crying? And Rasulullah replies back that أخبرني جبرائيل أنكم قتلى ومصارعكم شتى. Jibreel informs me that you people will be killed and your places of death will be diversed. That means buried in various areas, not one spot, various areas. فَقَالَ لَهُ. So Imam Hussein said to his grandfather, يَا أَبَتَ فَمَا لِمَنْ يَزُورُ قُبُورَنَا عَلَى تَشَتُّتِهَا. What's the reward of the person? What does a person get who goes for our ziyarat of our qubur and graves, despite the fact that they are dispersed, divided, not in one place, distributed in various areas, in other words. Faqala, Prophet replies back, Ya Bunayya, O my dear son, Ula'ika tawa'ifu min ummati, they are some of my ummat, some groups of my ummat, Yazurunakum yaltamisuna bidhalika al-baraka, they would go for your ziyarah and seek barakat through the ziyarat. وَحَقِيقٌ عَلَيَّ أَنْ آتِيَهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ فَأُخَلِّصَهُمْ مِنْ أَهْوَالِ السَّاعَةِ مِنْ ذُنُوبِهِمْ. And it's a right upon me. That means those people have a haq and right upon me that I come to them. And that means Prophet comes for our ziyarat. And فَأُخَلِّصَهُمْ مِنْ أَهْوَالِ السَّاعَةِ. Prophet comes for the ziyarat of those people on the Day of Judgment, and Prophet will set them free from the scares of the Day of Judgment. Set them free from their sins. وَيَسْكُنُهُمُ اللَّهُ الْجَنَّةِ. And Allah will make them reside in the paradise. So, definitely, our rewards are anyone who goes for the Hajj or the Ziyarat of Ahlul Bayt, you know, the Noor of the Hajj remains in the Ruhaniyat, the spirituality of the person. He brings a lot of Noor with him, and that Noor in the Qalb is visible by the Urafa. If there is some Arif present who doesn't have the Hijabat on his Qalb, he can literally see that special Noor, khas Noor, which belongs to the Hajj or the Ziyarat. It has a special Noor, and that Noor remains in the soul of the person as long as he does not commit a sin. Once the person commits the sin, that special Noor is gone. So if we maintain ourselves, keep away from the sins, we will definitely maintain the Noor of Hajj and Ziyarat in our soul. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give the tawfiq to all the Hujjaj and Zaireen to keep on staying away from the Muharramat and performing the Fara'id successfully, so they can maintain the Noor of Hajj and Ziyarat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give the tawfiq to all of you respectable brothers and sisters to further perform the Hajj and further perform the Ziyarat, and those who haven't gone yet, may Allah give them the tawfiq to go for the Hajj and the Ziyarat. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept the Hajj and Ziyarat and Sa'i and Manasik and Ibadat from all of you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand the concept of Hajj and Ziyarat and to fulfill its implications. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad. Allahumma ansur al-Islam wal muslimin wa akhdhul al-kuffara wal munafiqin. Allahumma ansur man nasara ad-din wa akhdhul man khadara al-muslimin. Allahumma ansur wa ahfaz wa ayyid ulama'ana al-rabbaniyin wa maraji'ana al-rabbaniyin la sayyima al-wali al-faqih qa'id al-muslimin. Allahumma ansur jiyush al-muslimin wa asakir al-muwahhidin. Allahumma fukka an al-asara'i al-muslimin. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه بجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين.